on his heart. He's going to talk about divine appointments. And if I know anybody in the world that gets, I don't know anybody gets more divine appointments than Carl Crames. I want to get more divine appointments. That's what he's going to be talking about today. Please welcome Pastor Carl as he comes up, brings the message.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. Okay, if you didn't get sermon notes, they were inside your worship guide. You can follow along with us. They look like this. So if you didn't get any, raise your hand, and our fearless ushers, give a hand for ushers, and they're going to pass them out to you so you can follow along with me as we go along. So before I get started, I want to share a little, I believe is already a divine appointment. Last night, I met a pastor from Israel at a conference back in February, and his name is Pastor Israel, and he's a pastor of a Messianic Christian church in Ashdod, Israel. And he said, I just knew we were supposed to meet or something, and he says, I want to communicate with you. So he's been sending me emails, and I'm telling you, this church is on fire. They've had almost 2,000 salvations this year alone from Jewish believers. Now they were Jewish, most of them were unchurched, they didn't go to church, but because of the events they do and all the stuff. So I sent him an email yesterday, and I said, you know, I'm not going to ask you this very often, but this is my first time. Would you pray for me and pray for our church? Because I'm going to be speaking tomorrow. I'm going to share the story of Josiah. And he replied to me like at 11 at night, says, yes, Carl, thank you for praying for us. And my team, my staff is praying for Victory Church today. So hats off and thanks to him for sure. Okay, so I'd like to pray. Since he's praying, I'm going to say a quick prayer. How about that? So it's good to start off with prayer. So, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that teaches us all things. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to inspire us today to be divine appointments. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Pastor Bill has been talking about in past weeks on three things quite a bit. One is knowing God. One is inviting people to this church services. And one is sharing your story. And so those are three great things. So why are these three basic things he's been talking about so important as it relates to divine appointments? The answer is because as we get to know God better, it builds our faith and it builds our confidence so that we can share our faith more effectively. Amen? And because we want everyone to become sons and daughters or children of God, and know our Heavenly Father and spend eternity in heaven with us. Amen? We really do. So my keynote scripture, it's in your notes there. It's Philemon 1:6 out of the New Testament. It says this, may the fellowship or communication or sharing of your faith become more effective through the knowledge of everything that is in you. Circle that word in you. In you for Christ's sake. So The New American Standards there says fellowship, but when you really translate that out, it means sharing and communication. So we become better communicators of what we believe by acknowledging the good things that God has deposited inside of us. And that was really Pastor Bill's message last week, is the wisdom within us. Amen? So we need to see that more inside of us. So this is why our four basic foundation pillars are the following. One, and we talked about this a lot, but it's good to review, because one is to know God, two is to find freedom, three is to discover your purpose, and four is to make a difference. Now, I'm going to focus on three and four today. Three, we do have our own version of discovering your purpose. It's called Discovery Class. We have it once a month, and I was looking not too long ago at some statistics. They say that almost not really much more than 10% of Christians really know what their giftings are, really know what their callings are. They don't know what their purpose is. So we need to help them, right? So we have a discovery class that gives an assessment of what your gifts are, what your callings, what your talents are, so you know how you fit in to God's people, God's church. And that's in discovery class, among other things in there. And making a difference, you can make a difference right now. You can get in a small group. That's how you're going to make a difference. In small groups, you get to know people. Because in here, you can only get to know somebody just a little bit. But in small groups, you have relationships. And that's part of the church experience, a relationship. So you can still join in. This is our last week. But join in one. Come on, and you can look in your worship guide. There's some lists there and some phone numbers. And you can join in one at the last minute. We love to have you. And then dream teams. You can make a difference with a dream team. So That's important because the dream teams is what makes the church function. Everything from the worship team to greeters to ushers to parking lot to the children's church, all these kinds of things. That's what makes a church work, and you may fit into something like that. Say, I'd like to do that, so you can have an opportunity to do that. So you can really see that not only has God real, but that he's divinely chosen you. Turn to your neighbor and say to them, you are a divine appointment. Say that to them. And it's so true, because God's divinely chosen both you and me, that each of us can have regular divine appointments to show us and others his awesome purposes. So I'm going to put up a photo of my pastor way back in 1985, Pastor Bob Duvall. And he was quite a divine appointment in my life. And so in 1978, I was attending Auburn University. No booze, please. And I was an officer at my fraternity house, and there was a church plant getting started there. And Pastor Bob was actually at that time a pastor of a church in University of Alabama at Tuscaloosa, but they brought people in from all over the place. They were like their dream team, a church planting dream team. And his job, all he was doing, is walking around the fraternity and sorority houses, signing them up to let this contemporary praise band, which is kind of unusual back then, play at their fraternity and sorority house. And somehow, some way, I still don't know why, I said yes to it. So that was my first meeting with Pastor Bob. Now, neither he nor I knew what would happen in each of our lives, how God would reconnect us again 5 years later. But I'll talk about that later, because that made an impact, and as a result, I became a believer just about a week later, and I gave my life to the Lord. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So how did this happen? Now, well, Bob, like I said a minute ago, he was working on an administrative assignment of a church planting team, simply just signing people up. But it was bathed in prayer, and they had a common purpose to see the kingdom of God come in Auburn with a new church. Now, Bob was part, like I mentioned ago, of a church in Tuscaloosa. He didn't seem to benefit from it because he was coming to Auburn. But Bob and you and I know something, that God loves people, and because of the love inside of us, we're called to go and make disciples. So as a result, I've known him for 36 years. He and I have laughed, cried, played golf, fished, encouraged, prayed for each other, and helped each other in countless ways ever since for 36 years. Now, you might be thinking, how can I make a difference and even share my story? Pastor Bill talked about sharing my story after we leave this building in everyday life. So on your notes, we have four ways that you can do that. Number one, and it's a fill in the blank, if you want to fill it in there, is ask God for divine appointments. Ask God for divine appointments. Now Matthew 9:38 says, therefore, beseech, which means to cry out to, the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest. Notice he said it's his harvest. It's not our harvest. So we don't get this thing like, if I don't do good enough, nothing's going to happen. It's his harvest. So if we pray for it, and we pray for specific people at times, God's going to hear our prayers. And guess what? He's going to give you and I divine appointments. And it's his because he died for it. He deserves it. He deserves our best. Because he died for us, that we can even be here today, that I can even stand up here, because he died for us on the cross, that I could be called his son, and you can be called either his son or daughter. Number two is look for opportunities. That's the next fill in your blank, is look for opportunities to pray for people and share your faith. Ephesians 6:15 says this, having shod your feet, which means to put on your shoes and get ready, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This means be ready. Be ready at all times. Expect a divine appointment. We need to expect, that's our faith working. Expect God to use you, not because you're a good speaker, because I was scared to death before I became a Christian. Pastor Bill shared a similar testimony. I couldn't stand up and say anything to anybody. But God, because I knew he was inside of me, he started to change me and gave me boldness. So just expect, in your own way, your own personality, expect and be ready for a divine appointment. I'd like to put up a photo. I've shared this story about the Norwegian Sky. This is the Christian Fellowship that's aboard the Norwegian Sky cruise boat. Brendan and I have been on it a couple of times. This is 9 years ago, back in 2010. So one way that you can share your faith is by if you all have been out to eat with me before, about 15 years ago, I learned this technique, and I love it, that when you're at a restaurant, when the server comes up and you're getting ready to have a blessing over your food, just say, hey, by the way, we're going to have a blessing over our meal. Is there something that we can pray for you? And then I give them like a couple choices, a health of a family member, maybe your finances, maybe you're in school, because a lot of people here in Gainesville, you know, they're in school, that we can pray for you. And almost always they say, oh my, thank you, and we pray for them. So that's just a technique I learned from a couple that used to be in Victory Church who retired and moved off to Georgia. And so we were on this, that relates, let's put that picture back up because I want to share some things about that picture up there of the crew there. So there is a series of divine appointments that took place because I did what I just explained to you about praying at restaurants. We were sitting in the restaurant there. They have several of them in the sky. And we asked this young lady named Elena, who was our server. She was from Nicaragua. We asked her if we could pray for her. Oh, my goodness. She shared all the things that were going on with her back home in Nicaragua. It was horrible. She was just about ready to start bawling any minute. So when she was done, she says, oh, I think you need to meet our pastor of our Christian group. I said, okay. And so he was the maitre d'. His name was Keith, and he came up to us and he said, oh, I think God has sent you here today. He says, would you like to speak to our Bible study on Wednesday night? I said, sure. So, you know, so I was just blessed that he would say that. And so we came, and I said, what time? And he says, well, it's at 11:30 at night. I'm going, whoa, okay. So 11, these people worked all day. I mean, they are really hard workers, and that's when they start their services, at 11:30 at night. So we met there, and I spoke, and I shared with people how to share their faith, because while I was on these cruises, I can't help it. When I'm going out on the islands, I take my little gospel tracts. These are the good news. We have some of these if you'd like one. And I just believe for divine appointments. Brenda's busy shopping, I'm busy sharing. So I'm out there. And I just, look, it's not complicated. All I do is I'd walk up to people and say, hey, can I pray for you? I'm a Christian here, and I'm just visiting off the Norwegian sky, and I like to pray. Most of the time they say yes. And then let God open up something. And then I have, and this is a little tool, and I taught them how to use the good news tracts. Because on here, you can just read it. You don't have to have a big script memorized. You can read it, and there's a little prayer at the end that they can receive Jesus into their life. And so I taught them how to do that on the Norwegian sky. So we had about 40 people in this meeting, and at the end, about 10 people raised their hands to either rededicate or give their life to Jesus. One of them was Elena. So I just thought, oh, well, she's just rededicating her life. And so after the service was over, I said to Pastor Keith there, and I said, I saw Elena, and I told him how we got invited, and I said, so she's a great part of your fellowship. He goes, wait a minute, Carl, you don't understand something. He said, she's not a part of this fellowship. This is her first time to be here, ever. He says, we've been inviting her, inviting her, and inviting her, and she's got her little party friends on the boat, and she just would not come. But because Brendan and I did an act of kindness towards her, We were concerned about what she might need prayer for. She came and she gave her life to Jesus that day. So you just never know. That's why we keep inviting people, because you never know. One day they're going to come. One day they're going to come. And so back up there on the screen again. Want to tell something else about that? So this is Elena. See Brendan and I in the middle? That's her in between us in the back. This young man, this is from India. His name is Sadesh. I have one more divine appointment. I'll tell you about that story. Sadesh, he's from India, and we had a time of prayer afterwards. Just about everybody came up for prayer. It was amazing. There's a lot of other things that happened. But Sadesh came up, and he was really distraught, and we prayed for him, encouraged him. So Brenda and I, the next day, we were out eating lunch out on the deck. It was our last day on the boat, and Sadesh works in the restaurant department. He sees us, and he runs up to us, and he goes, Pastor Carl, I got to tell you something. You said something yesterday about divine something. And I said, divine appointment. Yes, it was a divine appointment. He's very excited. And he says to me, I did what you told me to. I took this, I gave some of these out to them, by the way, these little gospel tracts. And he says, I went to my two roommates last night, and I told them, and I shared with them about what it means to be a Christian. And he says, and they both prayed to receive the Lord last night. And I said, wow. So then, that is awesome, Sadesh. And he looks at me and he goes, did you have a divine appointment today, Pastor Carl? Fortunately, I'd said something to the lady at the ice cream bar a couple minutes ago, so I was able to say yes. But so anyway, well, 2 years later, we went on the Norwegian Sky one more time, and Sadesh was back on it. He'd been on another boat, transferred back over. He called us and wanted some prayer, so I prayed with him a little while. And then I said, well, what's going on with those two guys you prayed for? And he says, well, one of them's in England. He says, well, let me tell you about the other guy that he prayed for, one of his old roommates 2 years prior. He says he's now back in India, and he has a traveling evangelistic ministry where he just goes from village to village sharing his faith all over India, and he prays for miracles. He sees healings and miracles. So that's what happened. So you never know what will happen from one person that goes to another. It can have a chain reaction of God moving on something that you do. And so that's just, and also his wife got saved, because he was Hindu background. He was not Christian background, and his wife got saved during that period of time. So things are happening just because you shared your faith there, and you showed somebody how to share your faith. All right, number three is write out, that's another fill in the blank on your sheet there, write out your story or testimony to be about 1 minute. And this will be for opportunities, maybe in a restaurant, maybe you're in Walmart, maybe you're somewhere and you just see somebody and say, hey, can I pray for you? And you share your testimony. I'm going to give my approximate 1 minute testimony, and this is kind of a little example. So I was raised in church. I was raised in a Baptist church, and I prayed to receive the Lord when I was a young boy. Got water baptized when I was 12. Went away to college at Auburn, and all the allurement of the world was there, and I slowly drifted away from what I knew to be true, what was moral, and I did some things I was not proud of. And so, but God knew when I was ready. He sent Pastor Bob Duvall, and then he sent some other folks that were in this praise band, and they shared with me when I went up and argued for about 20 minutes with them what it means to be a Christian. I realized that Jesus needed to be my Lord. He needed to be in complete control of my life. So I went to a meeting that night, raised my hand, and I gave him complete control of my life, and Jesus has been my Lord ever since. Amen. So that's about 1 minute, give or take a little bit. There's a lot of details in there I left out, but sometimes that's all you got. And so, but it says, and it should be on your notes there, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, and him is means the devil, because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life, even when faced with death. So we overcome things in life by sharing our testimony, don't we? So number four is recognize God's predestined plan for your life. That's a little, take you a minute to fill that in. Recognize God's predestined plan for your life. And this is where I want to get to the story of Josiah. I'm going to be reading for you in just a minute out of 2 Chronicles chapters 34 and 35. Just to give you a little backdrop of who Josiah was, he was a king. And you can read about the kings in the Old Testament, the kings of Israel and Judah, in the two books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. So there's actually a version of this story in the book of Kings also. But what happened back there is there's a number of kings. Everybody probably is familiar with King David, who slew Goliath. A lot of people know that, even if they don't go to church. But there was a lot of kings after David. And unfortunately, most of the kings were not good. There's a few good ones, but most of them were not good. Israel was always getting in trouble. They were always falling into idolatry. And a lot of their idolatry was about sexual gods. They built statues to them. They worshipped them. And they did some things we can't even mention right now in public. Kind of like what we probably heard about some folks today, if you've ever heard of what people are up to today in the world. Not that much different, even in the United States. So for some reason, Josiah was king at age 8. His father died unexpectedly. He was murdered. And then Josiah was in the line to be the king at age 8. And for some reason, Josiah, at a very young age, didn't like all this idolatry, and he wanted to serve the living God of the king he knew about, King David. He wanted to worship him the way that David did. So what happened was that he was crowned at age 8. It says in 2 Chronicles that he starts to seek after God as a teenager at age 16. And then by the age of 20, he rebuilds their temple. Their temple had been devastated with sexual idolatry and statues and things. And so he starts cleansing the land at age 20. So he starts a program that goes through all the cities of Israel and starts tearing down the altars and burning them all. And that's at age 20. Then at age 26, this comes into his heart. He says, we need to rebuild the temple. We need to rebuild our meeting facility, basically, is what he's talking about. So that's what he decides to do. And by this time, even though some of these people that I'm going to mention in a minute, they probably were involved in idolatry. Most likely some of them were. But because of the example of King Josiah, they had kind of turned away from that. And they said, King, we are with you. We want to do the right thing. We want to serve the God of David. So let's do it. So I'm going to start reading in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 12. It's not in your notes. Verses 18 and 19 will be in your notes. But this is a story of when they decided to start to rebuild. And right before this, you'll read that they brought in a lot of money. The people happily brought in money because they were all excited about this building project. So I'm going to read first, starting in verse 12. And the men and women did the work faithfully with foremen over them to supervise. Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites of the sons of Merari, Zechariah and Meshulam, the sons of the Kohathites, and the Levites, all who were skillful with musical instruments. They were also over the burden bearers, supervised all the workmen from job to job, and some of the Levites were scribes and officials and gatekeepers. And when they were bringing out the money which they had brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest, they had a priest back then, found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. So this is important. This is a big turning point for Israel. And Hilkiah responded and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan was like the scribe. And Shaphan brought the book to the king and reported further word to the king, saying, everything that was entrusted to your servants, they are doing. They have also emptied out the money, which was, they found money in the temple there. They have also emptied out the money which was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it to the hands of the supervisors and the workmen. Now this is the part that's in your notes. Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, he came to the king with this news and this writing from King David's time. Hilkiah the priest gave me a book, and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes and wept. This is a very holy moment for them. That up until now, Josiah, well, we know Josiah was a good king, crowned at the age of 8, decides that 18 years later to restore the house of God, cleansing it of idols, but entrusts responsibilities. He entrusted them to carpenters, builders, gatekeepers, and musicians. Notice it was musicians, too, because they needed everybody. They needed all hands on deck. They needed everybody to pitch in and help because it was a big job. Well, they were trying really hard, hoping it would all work out, not knowing for sure, and then all of a sudden, they found God's promise. A description, this book had a description of exactly the story of King Josiah, what he was doing. But it was written hundreds of years ago during the time of Moses. So then Josiah and the people knew it was a God thing. And they were very blessed. The time of Josiah's reign was very blessed. And then they reinstated the Passover. The Passover was the sacrifice of the lamb during the times of Egypt when the Israelites had to go leave, really. They had to get out of town, and they sacrificed a lamb, an unblemished lamb, called the Passover. I can't get into the details of that. But that ceremony, the Lord commanded them to do for all generations. They'd stopped doing that. They hadn't even done that. So they reinstated that. Today, now Jesus became our Passover. He is the lamb that was slain on the cross for us. So we don't have to celebrate Passover. It's okay if you celebrate Passover because you can remember the story of Moses and the Israelites and how he delivered them from the Pharaoh and from Egypt. But today it's our Easter story. We celebrate Passover. It's Jesus dying for us and being raised from the cross. So I don't know if you saw any similarities. This part, I'm going to try to hold it together, y'all. I was remembering the story of Josiah, and I didn't remember all the rebuilding stuff. I just remembered that Josiah was a good king and that God wanted me to go to this story and read about it. I didn't realize how much it was about Victory Church. So, all of you, Victory Church, the carpenters, the foremen, the painters, the musicians, who all have donated money and time to rebuild and repurpose this once bar, Pastor Bill and all who've spoken here and all who are going to speak here, all who've laid down their lives, it's been written of you in God's plans. Plans that were in place, as the Bible says, before the foundations of the world. These were God's plans that this place should be here, and we should be here at this time. This is your time. This is our time. So God has chosen us to tear down the altars that were in this place and restore it. And now he wants us to do it one step further. Let's go and let's restore people's lives. Let's invite them here. Let's invite them to know the Lord. So all of us, you might say, well, Pastor Carl, I wasn't involved with the restoration or the money giving. That's okay. That's all right. You're here today because God has brought you here today. And all the people that are going to come because God has divinely chosen them through us to bring them here. We're all part of God's story. Ephesians 1:4 says that, and by the way, this scripture, or at least versions of this next scripture I'm going to quote, are quoted 7 times in the Bible. And different variations of it are 33 times where God says this. He chose us in Him, and Him is Jesus, before the foundations of the world, to be holy and blameless before Him, which really means to be dedicated to Him. None of us can be holy and blameless. But in Him, He looks at us because He doesn't look at our past. He doesn't look how we've messed up. He doesn't look at what we're going to do or not going to do. He just looks at what He did for us on the cross. And He says our righteousness comes from the blood of Jesus, not from our own efforts. So when we say holy and blameless, it means be dedicated to Him. Give your all for Him, because He gave His all and suffered for us. The least we can do is give our all to Him and then be willing, as He leads us, to share that story with somebody else. It even says in the Bible in one place, you were born for such a time as this. You were born. God chose you before the world was even created, that you were born for such a time as this. So how can you and I become more bold to share our story? Well, in your notes, there's our last scripture. It says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You might want to underline this next part. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, which is Gainesville, in the Alachua County area, and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Notice he didn't say, go out and witness. Now, we need to go out and witness if God's leading you to do that in just some of the ideas I gave you and little tools that you can use. And Pastor Mike, I believe we still have some cards, some invitation cards that we can give you that you can invite people with. Those are great tools. But when you know inside that Jesus is inside of you, you just can't hold it in. They don't mean you get pushy with people. They don't mean you irritate people. But it says you shall be my witness. So when you just recognize Jesus in you, and what He's done for you, you will have the Holy Spirit, and it will shine through you. Believe me, it will. So I want everybody to bow their heads for a second. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us, and I want to say I'm encouraged by all the work that's gone in this place. People have given countless hours, money, sacrifice to what's gone in to get us here. And it's not by an accident. And you are a divine appointment. You're not by accident. And God wants to use you. He really does. So if you say, Pastor Carl, I see today that, could you pray for me? I now see that I am a divine appointment. And I want to be used by God. However, whatever that means, Lord, I'm here. Here am I, Lord. Send me. If that's you, raise your hand. I just want to say a quick prayer for you. If you just want to be a better divine appointment, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. There's hands, lots of hands. Thank you. We all could be used to be a better divine appointment. So keep your heads bowed, because I'm going to pray for you. And the number one sign in the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, when they prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, was boldness. Boldness. So God will give you something will come upon you that you'll just know it's time to do something. So I'm going to pray for that for us. Lord, I just pray right now that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit you would fill us with your boldness. Lord, I thank you for every person to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Lord, I pray for them to have divine appointments. But most of all, Lord, that we would know that we are divine appointments. We are your divine appointment. We were born for this, Lord. We were born for such a time as this. So, Lord, I pray this week, even today, Lord, that we will have divine appointments because we are your divine appointments. And we receive them for opportunities to help people in their walk with you or even help them come to a knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, maybe you're not sure right now that if you even are a witness, and you say, well, I don't know if I'm even a witness at all. By that, I'm saying, and this is one of the questions I ask people when I share my testimony, do you know for sure if you were to die tonight, if you would go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? So if we're not sure, God wants you to be sure so that you can be his witness. So there's a very simple scripture, and it's actually in this little tract that you can just read it to people. You don't even have to memorize it. You can read 1 John 5:12 through 13, and it says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Some people say, well, Pastor Carl, how do we even know that we can, you know, and this is a question they were obviously asking back then, but he said, you can know. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then I would ask them this simple question, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Usually they say yes, because a lot of people I talk to have religious backgrounds. Do you believe he died on a cross for your sins and God raised him from the dead? They say yes. And I said, now, have you received him into your life? Are you willing to quit whatever God tells you is sin? Are you willing to follow him for the rest of your life? That was Jesus' message, by the way, to his disciples. He didn't give them a long sermon. He just said, follow me. And they got up and left everything and followed him. I mean, I would have said, wait a minute, you have to explain everything. No, he said, follow me. So are you willing to follow him and then ask him to come in your life and be your Lord and Savior? So I'm going to ask everyone again to close their eyes with me because I want to pray for people and say, Pastor Carl, and you could be in either one of a couple places. You can say, well, I did that before, but I see right now that I'm lacking a relationship with God, and I'm not really don't have a regular relationship with God, and I need to quit some things and start some things, and I'm willing to do that today, Lord, and I'm willing to rededicate my life. You could be in that position, or maybe you've never received Jesus into your life to be your Lord and Savior, and say, I see God today. I'm a divine appointment. That no matter what things have happened to me, Lord, I want to spend eternity with you. So if you're in one of those two places and you say, Pastor Carl, I'm ready to rededicate my life or I want to receive Jesus for the first time, nobody's going to be looking around. I'm the only one that's going to see you. If you would raise your hand, I would pray for you. If you want to raise your hand, anybody want to rededicate or for the first time? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you so much for being brave to say that. So what we're going to do is we're going to all pray a prayer together. So you can pray with us. So everybody pray this prayer and join in with them. And let's pray and pray after me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus and he died on the cross for my sins. And then you rose him from the dead. So one day I will be raised from the dead to live forever with you. So right now, I dedicate my life, I turn away from all sin, and I ask you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Right now, I'm born again, I am a child of God, and I can confidently say that I will be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand for what just happened. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll turn it back over to Pastor Bill.
Man, give Pastor Carl a hand. I think that was a great message. Praise God. Divine appointments, man. We all need divine appointments. And I love what he said, that you are a divine appointment. It's the order of God that you're here today, and we can be a blessing to other people. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer with Pastor Carl and you raised your hand and you want to make a fresh start, or maybe you've never done this before and this is your first time committing your life to the Lord, on your connection card, There's a little box, and if you check that, I'm going to send you some special materials in the mail. Also, in a few minutes, at the end of our service, there's going to be some prayer teams up front to pray with anybody that needs prayer for anything. But if you don't have a Bible, come on up and say, hey, I don't have a Bible. We'll give you a Bible, put your name in it, and prayer will be here after the service for anybody. Don't forget to put your connection card in the offering basket when it comes by. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. There should be an offering envelope on a seat back in front of you. Here's my offering scripture. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. This is Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, who at this point in his life is pastoring a church. And he says, in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. So in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, God instructs his people. He says, bring the whole tithe. Tithe means a tenth of our income. So there's three types of giving in the Bible: tithes, offerings, and alms. He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. So what is then this like? Well, where's the house? What's the house of God? In the Old Testament, it was the temple. Where is it now? Well, here it tells you in this verse, one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church. So the tithe is designed to fund the church, make the church operate, because the church is the hope of the world. That's what Jesus is using to reach our generation, the church. So just a very practical aspect of tithe, what the tithe is. It's a tenth of our income, and it's supposed to be, according to the Bible, the first. You give it to God first, and I believe what happens is when we put God first in our finances, that 90 goes way further than the 100% would have, because now there's the blessing of God upon it. But the purpose of it is to be sure that there is the church in the world to bring people to, so they can get healed, they can get saved, they can get delivered, they can get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So there's three ways to give. You can give in the offering envelope. You can also give on our website, or you can text to give, and there's more information in your bulletin on that. If you're giving to the Bahama Relief Fund, note that, how much goes to that. If you're giving to the building fund, which is we're still paying for the remodeling of this building, designate how much is to that, and the rest we'll put in the tithe and offerings if you don't designate. All right, so let's pray over our offering right now. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give good seed into good soil. We ask you to take these gifts and cause them to win souls, make disciples, and bring glory to your name. I pray over the gifts, but I also pray over the giver. I ask you to give back to each giver a hundredfold return, because that's what you promised your disciples. And now I speak this blessing over your people that you had Moses speak over your people many years ago. I say they're blessed coming in, they're blessed going out, in the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals. I command the blessing of God upon them. I say, if the enemy comes at them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God, because they're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to pray for the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody agree with that said? Amen. God bless you as you give.